potentially solving a cold case should never be a sad or depressing event.
This is the Veritas 7 True Crime Podcast with your host, Kurt Dillon.
This podcast is like nothing else out there. It's true crime, but we don't present that in a sad or morose kind of manner.
The Veritas 7 features the most interactive and immersive true crime podcasting experience ever imagined.
Our whole goal is engagement with our audience. That's before, during, and after we record each episode. The whole purpose of this show is to actually try and solve these crimes, and we use real police documents to do that.
Don't forget to like and subscribe, so you'll know right away when each new episode goes live.
This is the only true crime podcast I know of where the audience can actually help solve the crime. We are all about trying to solve these crimes. Our whole team is dedicated to uncovering the truth. That's where the name Veritas comes from.
Let's get into the action. Take it away, Kurt.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me, your host, Kurt Dillon, for this, the introduction, the teaser episode to the Alphabet Murders. It's going to be a long road. We structure our shows unlike any other podcast does. So if you like long-form true crime podcasting, this is definitely the place for you. We're going to have numerous episodes devoted to this case, the Alphabet Murders, from Rochester, New York, back in 1971 to 1973. We also have sister podcasts that put out content regarding this, so you want to definitely make sure that you go and listen to our Gifted Insights episode pertaining to the Alphabet Murders, as well as our Uncensored episode that is dedicated to the Alphabet Murders. You want to make sure you listen to our Gifted Insights episode that is dedicated to the Alphabet Murders, as well as our Uncensored episode. Both of those are available now. By all means, please go ahead and do that, and then look for what we call our prime episodes. The prime episodes are the full body of content. 6 chapters, each one dedicated to a different aspect of the case, from the victimology, focusing entirely on the victims, to the verdict, focusing on what our panel have decided are the most likely suspects capable of being indicted on this case, if we were to have the opportunity to do that. So you definitely want to look for the prime episodes and all the other cases that we are going to be bringing you eventually. So, all that being said, we have a lot to go over. Sit back, buckle up, stand by. This is it, because Veritas means truth, and the truth starts now.
I can't believe the price of dog food is getting outrageous. And if I want to save a few bucks, I have to carry a 50-pound bag of kibble up the stairs into my apartment. There has to be a better way.
There is. I'm so glad you said something. You poor thing, we've been using TummyTimePetSupplies.com for over a year now.
Tummy Time Pet Supplies? What's that?
TummyTimePetSupplies.com. They have all the major brands and most smaller brands as well. In fact, we not only get all of our dog and cat supplies there, but they also have everything we need for Brett's chinchilla, Ashley's ferrets, Haley's iguana, and even Jordan's pet tarantula.
Wow, they sell all that?
And more. But what's best about TummyTimePetSupplies.com is that they ship everything through Amazon Fulfillment. That means that everything you order gets delivered right to your door, and if you're an Amazon Prime customer, shipping is almost always free.
That really sounds incredible, but I bet it's super expensive. Mark just got laid off and I can't afford all those special conveniences for a while.
Nonsense. In fact, Tummy Time offers some of the most reasonable prices anywhere. You really have to be a whiz and coupon shopping to beat their everyday prices, and when they run sales, forget about it.
I can't believe it, an incredible selection, great prices, and right to your door service. So what do you think?
I think the next time I buy anything for my pets, I'm going to TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
I think that's a very wise choice.
Me too.
That's right. For all your pet needs, it's TummyTimePetSupplies.com. Remember TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
I think the first thing that we need to do is establish, is it one guy that did this, or are we looking at two different things? Carmen, her case was different from the last two.
Right.
She wasn't fed.
Well, and that's another thing that struck me too.
She wasn't clothed. So right. To me, that means like somebody knew her. It was a different car. That one was a dark Pinto. The other two were, it was a beige sedan.
Well, and she was strangled, and the other two girls had some kind of belt or something from hands. She was strangled
from the front by hand.
Yes. And that means family or someone close.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the uncle is a big suspect in the first one, but if we got to figure out, hey, is it the same guy did all three, or are we talking two different things here?
Right.
And then if we say, hey, it's all three, then we have to look for a common factor in this. And I think something that no one really looked at is they were all three Catholic. I don't know the percentage of people that are Catholic in New York, but, you know, churches have records.
In that town, it's pretty high. It's the predominant religion in that city because they're all Irish Catholic settled city. So back in the Revolutionary War days, it was just a community. Like you have certain areas around New York City settled by different countries when they came over. And back in those days, especially in Europe, your religion largely was determined by what country you hailed from. So Rochester was really a predominantly Irish Catholic little hamlet there.
The food thing. You know, he didn't feed Carmen. Was it because he was just kind of figuring it out? And by the second and third, he got better at it and learned different tactics to make it easier. I don't know.
Well, here's another thing. If you know you're going to kill the kid, why take her to Mickey D's and get her a burger?
Well, that's why I'm thinking, like, you know, think about this ice cream guy, right? Like, he's the only one that I'm still just kind of focused on because they did have some evidence that it could possibly have some links and ties to the girls. He knew the neighborhood. He knew possibly some of the girls' shopping patterns, right? Because he's in the neighborhood. He's a familiar face to them. But also think about the fact that you've already got Carmen, who's been killed and dumped somewhere. What better that if you're going to kill a little girl or whatever, dump her in the same manner or the same place to make it look like it was the person who did it before you? There's a copycat type of like, well, you know, this girl was your... somebody else already did this and dumped her body here. You know, I'm going to make it seem like when I dump the girls, it's probably that same person and to take the focus off of him. But I do really feel like when Matt said there's such a difference in how these girls were killed because the strangling in the hands of the first one and then the belt, possibly they think it's a belt used with the two other girls. I think that's a very key point also.
Well, I read somewhere they said it was a belt for one, and it could have been a belt or a rope for the second one.
So Wanda was a belt. Michelle, the last one, they thought was a thin rope.
So hand, belt, rope. Three different ways to strangle, but they were all strangled.
Do we also think it's a coincidence that they disappeared, all three of them disappeared during rainy days? I mean, they were the same height. They were loner type. They didn't have many friends, and I don't know.
They're like that, like you're saying, not many friends, and they're more liable to be alone or not with groups of kids, an easier right. target. Yeah.
Well, another thing that's odd is Carmen and Wanda were running errands for the store, where right. Michelle was just walking home from school. But it was also odd that she was stopping by a local shopping mall, according to what it says, to retrieve her mother's purse that where she forgot it in a store earlier that day. That really struck me as funny, too.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying, if the kid was at school all day, first of all, how would she know? Again, there was no cell phones back then. So mom couldn't have, like, sent her a text message and be like, oh, will you stop at the store on the way home and get my purse?
Oh, yeah.
That's number one. Who does that? Like, the details of these things really, really get under my skin.
Well, so, it just makes me mad at the parents. Makes me so mad at parents.
Well, yeah. Like,
I can't believe the price of dog food is getting outrageous. And if I want to save a few bucks, I have to carry a 50-pound bag of kibble up the stairs into my apartment. There has to be a better way.
There is. I'm so glad you said something. You poor thing, we've been using TummyTimePetSupplies.com for over a year now.
Tummy Time Pet Supplies? What's that?
TummyTimePetSupplies.com. They have all the major brands and most smaller brands as well. In fact, we not only get all of our dog and cat supplies there, but they also have everything we need for Brett's chinchilla, Ashley's ferrets, Haley's iguana, and even Jordan's pet tarantula.
Wow, they sell all that?
And more. But what's best about TummyTimePetSupplies.com is that they ship everything through Amazon Fulfillment.
That means that everything you order gets delivered right to your door, and if you're an Amazon Prime customer, shipping is almost always free. That really sounds incredible, but I bet it's super expensive. Mark just got laid off and I can't afford all those special conveniences for a while. Nonsense. In fact, Tummy Time offers some of the most reasonable prices anywhere. You really have to be a whiz and coupon shopping to beat their everyday prices, and when they run sales, forget about it. I can't believe it, an incredible selection, great prices, and right to your door service. So what do you think?
I think the next time I buy anything for my pets, I'm going to TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
I think that's a very wise choice.
Me too.
That's right. For all your pet needs, it's TummyTimePetSupplies.com. Remember TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
Thanks for tuning in. We know you have a choice and appreciate that you've chosen the Veritas 7. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and post a rating for the show before you go. Those metrics are really important for us. And if it's within your means to help us carry on our mission to revitalize these cold cases, please consider becoming one of our sponsors by visiting patreon.com/theveritas7 and signing up for any of our three available tiers of sponsorship. Each one provides a ton of extra content, like message chatting with our hosts in real time while we're recording, or even being able to call in voicemails to the show that we'll play on the air. Thanks again for being such an awesome listener. Now back to the show.
Well, Michelle had gone to the school nurse that day because she was upset she got bullied. Maybe the school nurse called the mom and Michelle talked to her mom from school.
That's possible.
Oh, she got bullied and then murdered. That's like horrible.
Yeah, she had a shit day.
Well,
rape too.
Exactly. And they said that the girls had histories of being bullied and even having issues with academic performance. So
weird. It could be a counselor. Could be a schools, Sky Car. Oh, man.
I don't put a lot of stock in the fact that Carmen's body was found naked and that she was running down the street half naked. What that tells me is Carmen was the lucky one that almost got away.
Yeah.
She was in mid-attack and she broke free and took off and beat feet and started running down the road.
What a great opportunity for that jack-off who saw her running. be like, hey, there's a naked running little girl down the side of the road. I'm going to go save her.
And I couldn't stop thinking about that. I mean, it just baffles my, like, you see that, like, today, if I saw that, I'm going to do something.
And the car was backing up.
Backing up.
Like, on the entrance of a rest stop.
Following her in reverse.
And he's following her in reverse. Right. Everybody's just driving by. There's, like, 400 people that saw it.
Well, another, they also make a big deal out of like gray or brown cars, whatever. Back in the 70s, almost all the cars on the road were gray and brown.
Carmen had a Pinto, which is a two-door car, hatchback.
Yeah, and that's what they said. Yeah. They,
and the other two are a four-door beige car. So even if the colors, and I'm a dude, we're colorblind. A four-door and a two-door hatchback aren't the same car.
No, the fact that
they're different vehicles does again point to the fact that we got probably a very high possibility that Carmen is the different killer and then the other two are the same. Like we have two different killers.
It could be, but again, also keep in mind these happened 18 months apart. So it's very easy, especially
vehicle.
The Pinto wasn't the most reliable car in the world.
Or he could have got rid of it.
It had a pretty bad reputation, so it's very possible that the Pinto blew up and the guy had to get another car.
What did the uncle drive, Matt? Did it say what his car was?
So like what? just a couple weeks before Carmen's disappearance, he got a dark colored Pinto. Carmen disappeared. 4 days later, he hauls ass to Puerto Rico. The cops, in order to investigate him, have to go to Puerto Rico. He takes off running in Puerto Rico. They find him like a month later, and they have to extradite him back to New York to interview him. And when they got him and his car together, and this car's newly purchased, he had cleaned the trunk of the car with like bleach or something. So that's kind of why I was leaning towards the uncle.
So there's
his behavior was very suspicious. And he didn't have to feed her because he knew her. She would have gotten the car. She didn't have to get lured by a cat or lured by a hamburger. Well, I don't think she had cat hair on her.
You're right, because the accounts of her walking out the store and just getting into a car, they said they had a witness say that they just watched her get into a car. Yeah. And the fact that they said it was a pinto and that's what the uncle had, and then he takes off after she's killed. I mean, come on now.
But now, what was it? I have to go back and I have to look before we, when we do the actual full show. Again, this is where the police reports are going to be, because I'm noticing that a lot of these articles are slanted one way or another based upon the preconceived bias of the writer. Mm-hmm. You have one writer that clearly believes it was the uncle. You have one writer that believes it was one person did all three killings.
Dang. But Ellie's right. I think we have to approach this methodically and not jump on the bandwagon of the suspects. We'll get lured down that road. Like the firefighter, he had white cat hair in one of his vehicles. Man, that's him, right? They checked his DNA. It wasn't him.
Right. I think it's like good to come at this on all these cases and, you know, do like what that investigator did. He's like, listen, I don't want the suspect information. I don't want anything. I want the hard facts of the case, and then develop based on evidence what he thinks versus the theories that have been, because we've got pure evidence of just what happened with, like, we all knew it was Gabby Petito's boyfriend, but man, there was a suspect at the campground. There was this, I mean, we got thwarted off that case in so many different directions when all along it was him, and we could have caught him way before he, you know, ended up offing himself weeks later.
And another thing that we're going to have to do before we air the actual full episode of this is I want to research how many other young girls in that age range disappeared from that area at that time.
Yes.
The reason why is because 10 and 11-year-old girls weigh about, what, 35, 40 pounds? It is very possible that those three were not the only victims. If there were other kids in that age range that turned up missing and their bodies were never recovered, it is very possible, especially considering the locations where these bodies were dumped, that if they weren't found right away, coyotes, wolves, the woods there by Rochester, by the Finger Lakes, where that is, there's plenty enough predatory animals that could have carried away the body of a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, missing person reports in that span of time.
Right, because it's very possible there were other that just weren't linked because no bodies were ever found.
Well, and then the hillside one, or what was it called, hillside or hill, the one in L.A. where the ice cream truck driver fled to L.A.
Yeah.
Were those young girls also, or were they women?
They were. They were. Here's the funny thing.
What 12 to 28.
Right, but I'm thinking that the 12. They were including the alphabet murders.
No, there were two.
I don't know of.
Of the list of their victims, there were two that were 12 and 14. All the rest were in their 20s.
Oh, so they did only, kill little girls.
So only like 10% of their evenings of, you know, whatever they did, only one evening had a 12 and a 14-year-old. The rest were all in their 20s.
Now, what we need to do is we need to investigate the 12 and the 14-year-old murders by Bianchi and Bono, because I believe when I did a paper on them in college, this is just off the top of my head, I believe that all of their murders were home invasions. They didn't abduct anybody. They went into people's homes in the middle of the night and they got them in their own beds.
How were they killed? Were they raped? Were they strangled? Was there
they were
a familiar?
They were raped and strangled because they were called the Hillside Stranglers. So they were all raped and were all strangled.
Strangled.
But believe that all of their victims occurred inside the victim's own home. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that they were stalkers. They would stalk, they would case, they would find a way in, they would break in the middle of the night, have their way with the people for 3-4 hours or whatever, then strangle them in their own beds or in their own homes and leave. That's quite a different thing than abducting somebody outside Walgreens or outside of a grocery store or outside of whatever.
The last time they were seen, they were getting off a bus and they approached a 2-tone sedan that had two men inside.
So it is different, but also that you have such a different demographic between Rochester and the woods and more of like a, you know, secluded area, whereas Los Angeles, it's very difficult to be unnoticed or unseen, you know, a busy street to pick up a little girl. I wonder if it's easier than to get into the homes at night when everyone's sleeping, because really there's not really anything very remote in LA. I don't know. I guess we just have to look at everything.
The thing is, though, if there were two men in the car, Bono didn't join up with Bianchi until Bono lived in LA. Mm-hmm. He's the reason why Bianchi moved out there. Mm-hmm. To be with him, and that's when they partnered up. They weren't together as a tandem in Rochester. They were together as a tandem only once they went to LA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've never heard of Bianchi teaming up, you know, being partners with anybody else while he was on the East Coast. He was a solo act while he was on the East Coast.
So he could have done that by himself, yeah.
Right.
And so do we know what the evidentiary ties are with Bianchi and Rochester to these two girls? Because they did say they had some evidence linking him to
the only evidence I saw is the type of murder that they were, that they were rapes strangled. And murders of young women.
Oh, and they were strangled. It.
But again, I think that's a slippery slope statistically, because that's a preferred method of killing for a lot of these psychos.
Well, yeah, it's the easiest way.
You know, there's no blood. If you're going to be in a public place after you kill them, or you run the risk of anybody seeing you as you're escaping the crime scene, it's the best way to kill somebody so that you're not soaked in blood and you stick out like a sore thumb going down the street.
And that was it. Just the type of way. No other ties, like alibis when he was in Rochester, or, was his route in the same neighborhood.
We won't know that until you see the police reports. Okay. Because in the articles, no. Well, the only thing I'm seeing is the method of killing is the only thing that's the same. And the fact that they were young girls. The three things. They were young girls, they were all raped, and they were all strangled. That's what they used to tie it together. I mean, it's the same thing with the firemen. The main thing that tied everybody together with the fireman was the fact that he was convicted of raping, I don't know, 14 girls in his garage. Now, another odd thing that differentiates that, in the case of Wanda, if you look at where they discussed the autopsy report, Wanda was found, her body had leaves and grass clenched in her fists. That tends to lead you to believe that Wanda was murdered right there. She wouldn't have had her fist typed around leaves and grass if she was killed someplace else and then dumped.
I read that about Wanda, but I also read that they thought she may have been thrown from the car while driving.
Yeah, well, and the funny thing is, how do you throw somebody from a moving car? You absolutely
by yourself.
That's number one. Number two, I don't know if you've ever been in a Pinto or a car like that. You're not throwing anybody out that window while the car's in motion. Not a person. You could throw something small out the window, but you're not throwing the body of a 10 or 11-year-old out the window of a moving Pinto. It's not happening. There's no room in the car. It's a small car.
So I was confused about Wanda because they said, oh, she got thrown from the car. And then at the same time, she had leaves in her hand, which means she was grabbing the ground and got strangled right then. And it didn't make sense.
That's where a lot of these articles that we read and ingest skew the facts just a little bit. One or two words can really skew the angle of the article. And that's what I think you have here, where it's playing off with the one article we mentioned said all three bodies had white cat hair on it. Then when you look at the other articles, I found three or four, like you said, Matt, that said that only Wanda and Michelle had white cat hair on them and that Carmen did not. Well, it doesn't say that she didn't. It just doesn't mention it. But again, we will definitively know that when we get the police reports. When we get the police reports, if there is white cat hair that shows up on the autopsy report, then we know. We've looked over probably 10, 12 articles, Matt.
For sure, at least.
And what we've noticed is there's a big diversity, depending upon who you wrote and what the source of the article is, in the evidence that's presented. With some people, you know, swearing that it was all done by the same person. Some person swearing, absolutely, it couldn't have been done by the same person. I read one that they absolutely swore the fireman was the one that did it. Another one that swears that Bianchi was the one that did it. And I think two that swear that the uncle was the one that did it. And then there's one.
There was another one where a woman thought it was her grandfather. He moved out to the West Coast, you know, late 70s or something, and she said that he worked at the grocery store, and there were cats at the grocery store. Her and her mother, I believe, sent their DNA in but I couldn't find where they got the results back from it.
The reporting is kind of shoddy. Each one of these sources had a preconceived hypothesis of who did it before they started putting pen to paper. So it's going to be interesting to see the police reports, because that's really the only primary source of information we're going to get. That and the autopsy reports. So yes, before we actually do the recording of the full show, we are going to have the police reports. I've already started collecting photographs. Another thing that's really crazy is the suspect rendering. I don't know. I'm sure you guys saw that in your...
Yeah, I believe that came from Michelle's case when they were at the burger joint. Someone saw the guy come out with dirty hands with a brown bag of food, right?
Yep. Yep.
And right. That's where they got the rendering. And that guy got a partial plate off of the car. And a couple of days later, found the car again, got a full plate. Police investigated him. He lived 20 miles away. His alibi for being in the town was he was looking for work, but they kind of died there. I didn't find anything else on that person.
So just, I'm sharing my screen right now.
Yeah, I'm like, who's this guy?
That's the rendering of the guy that supposedly fed Michelle the hamburger.
Oh, which he looks vastly different from our Nassau guy.
And he also he looks vastly different from Bianchi. I don't know what the uncle and what the fireman look like. But we'll from the other suspects, he doesn't look anything like him.
Yeah, we'll have to look at the uncle photo, because I feel like we saw a quick thing on the program
there
we watched
was.
Last night.
Yeah, there
that
was.
He looked like this guy a little bit. But Nassau is like really short and very indistinctively, like you could very easily see his face and describe him, you know. I mean, he's
right. Well, but then again, the picture that I saw of Nassau were all his jailhouse courtroom pictures that were all from the 90s and the 2000s. So obviously, he looked vastly different in the
younger 70s. Right? But he looks short and stubby,
right? Another thing that gets me that I wanted to mention. I mean, have you ever seen a sketch rendering of a suspect that looked like this before?
No,
this is
incredible. It looks like he belongs in like some kind of like Marvel comic book or something. Like, this is so good.
Yeah, like and
a
this is in the 70s.
Yeah.
Even today, sketch artists don't.
Is that a members only jacket? I just want to know. Because
It looks like he has a rabbit foot.
Actually, it's not. And I know this from experience because members only is my thing, and that's not the collar.
No, it's not. It's thinner.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember with I had the members only purple, and then I had a little lucky rabbit's foot. Now I know that that Kurt and I are the same age. I'm outdating Matt out of this in April. I think you're younger too, but this was a big thing in the 70s.
Oh.
Yeah,
definitely.
Dad, you probably think we're crazy because I feel like you didn't do that.
This guy looks like the remember the sketch that Joe Dirt had done? It looks exactly like that. I'm about to find it.
Oh my gosh, find that and post it right now.
That is great. That is great.
Man.
But yeah, it really struck me when I saw this, and I was like, I've never seen an artist rendering of a suspect that looked like that before.
Wait, is he wearing rain boots?
It looks like he's wearing fishing waders.
Yeah.
Fishing waders, jeans, and this jean jacket and a flannel.
Yeah. And the jeans are tucked in the wading boots, so that means you're planning on getting wet.
Yeah, he's going through the mud for some reason. He's
Yeah, you don't stuff your jeans in your boots like that unless you're planning on treading through some muck.
Oh, that dirty little hamster. He just looks guilty.
But again, at the same point, this was at McDonald's. Why are you going to feed the kid a burger if you know you're going to kill her in an hour?
It's got to be a bribery thing.
To keep her calm and to keep her from running out of your
door. Yeah, like, I'm your friend.
But you're taking her in public. You're actually being seen in public with a girl you're going to kill in an hour.
Yeah,
I've never seen a McDonald's that doesn't have a bunch of people in it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Right.
And you got to know in a town as small as Rochester that people are going to see, you know, this kid's face is about to be all over the city.
Which kid did he take to McDonald's?
Was it Wanda?
Michelle.
No.
I don't think it was McDonald's. It was a burger joint.
About the TikTok post back in 2022. about the grandfather. I want to look in more into that. Reading that, the grandfather spoke with Wanda on the day of her appearance?
Yeah, he knew her and saw her that day.
Right.
Which he owned a grocery store where cats were around and rats and white cat hair. I mean, it just, I don't know. I'm going to look more into that. Sure.
Well, and that really does open up the possibility of the copycat thing, you know, that it's very possible, especially because of the long gap in between when Carmen was killed and when Michelle and Wanda were killed, that it was a completely different killer that they wanted to, you know, they decided they were going to kill a kid a year and a half later. And what a better way to do it than to try and pin it on the guy that killed Carmen.
Yep. That's actually very, I mean, like if you were going to be a serial killer and there was somebody that had just recently died, like, why not do it the same way or the same area to deflect it looking like a new case, right? You know, the last thing you want to do is draw attention like, oh, now there's a whole different, like, you're going to want to pin it on the person who's already guilty.
Also, another thing, all three of the girls I found out are buried in the same cemetery.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So what I really want to do is I want to reach out on Facebook or whatever to somebody that lives in Rochester and see if maybe I can Cash App them $20 or $30 and have them go to the cemetery and take pictures of their graves.
And one of the girls too, I believe it was Wanda's, for 15 years, somebody kept going out there and cleaning the headstone and putting flowers on it, and nobody in the family knew who it was.
That's intense. I didn't get to that article. That's pretty good though. That shows remorse.
Mm-hmm. But if that's the case, then that means, you know, if there is any tie to that at all, then that person stayed in that area.
It's not really definitive either because, you know, you have true crime fans. This is a notorious case. There are true crime fans that could have just empathized with the little girl, and it could be somebody that's just been following the case that's completely uninvolved.
Yeah. No, that is true. I mean, this is hard to bring up and talk about, but my son, who's buried in California, we have people all the time going that aren't family that, you know, visit and bring new flowers and have a beer and all that kind of stuff. So it is very common for, even aside from family, for people that knew, you know, the child to go and visit and on a regular basis, just for whatever connection they had.
Absolutely. And like I said, as a psychologist by education, we as people have, as long as we're properly emotionally adjusted and developed, we have empathy and we always want to feel like we've done something, that we're not powerless, that we've helped in some way, that we've eased somebody's burden in some way, that we've eased somebody's pain and suffering in some way. So it's very, very common for people that might happen to live in Rochester that just overflow with empathy for what happened to that girl. Maybe they were a distant friend, or even now, 50 years later, it could have been somebody that was in school with her. Maybe even the girl that bullied her.
Right. Yep. There could be a lot of guilt. She grew up and got older and is like,
yeah. And you know, please forgive me. Like, they made movies, Flatliners was all about that, where people go back and try and cleanse themselves of their past.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of guilt in that. There was a young boy when I was in elementary school growing up in the Bay Area in California, and he was murdered at 12. And we actually would walk home just from school together every day. And this day he wanted to go Water Dog Lake, which I wasn't allowed to walk through Water Dog Lake because it was very remote. And he got stabbed 23 times that day. And it just so happened to be that I was like, no, I'm not allowed to go. And he went a shortcut. And to this day, we have classmates that just go to the area or visit his grave. I mean, we're talking 35 years later because of, you know, oh, I was supposed to go to soccer practice with him that day. And the guilt that they have that they didn't, because they're like, we could have saved him. You know, so there is a lot that sits with people when a child is killed that, you know, people don't get over.
Especially if you have some guilt, if you in some way wronged them. Mm-hmm. And they ended up dying some horrific death like this. I could definitely see where somebody there in the area is laden with guilt, not because they killed her, but because in some way they were mean to her or whatever the case may be.
Which is the one that you said, Matt, that got bullied that day at school?
Michelle.
And then,
so here's some interesting information I think we need to know. What schools did these girls go to? Did they all go to the same school? Mm-hmm. I don't know that.
I believe I read that they did not go to the same, that none of them went to the same school. I know each of them lived on the opposite ends of town. They, none of them lived particularly close to each other.
So in the 70s, in the early 70s, Rochester had a population of like 300,000. How many Catholic churches were in that town?
At that time?
Did they all go to the same church?
Yeah, we have to find that out. We got to figure that out. And also, too, we can look into the churches and people employed there, but we can also look into the ice cream truck driver and his routes. Like, did he only have a route in one small area, or did he go, you know, throughout Rochester? And then people at the schools too. Well, now they're all different schools. So,
well, not only that, here's the thing with the ice cream truck. These girls were all killed in the spring and in November. There's not a lot of ice cream
not
routes
summer.
In Rochester in November.
Right. Not the summer.
You know, matter of fact, Carmen was, one of them was the day before Thanksgiving. So there's not too many ice cream routes in upstate New York.
Yeah.
Now, the second one that was abducted in April, on April the 16th of 73, which I believe was Michelle.
Wanda. Or was it not Wanda?
Wanda was the second one, I think.
Yeah.
Wanda was the second. She was April 2nd.
Okay.
April 2nd.
That's still a little early in the season for an ice cream truck.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now I'm kind of doubting that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so you got, and all three of these girls, two of them were in November and one of them was in April.
And
so
was April the first girl?
No, Carmen? It was November of 71.
Yeah.
April of 73, November of 73.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's still someone who's home for the holidays too, right?
You know, possible. It really strikes me that these are crimes of opportunity. I find it hard to believe that somebody set out to stalk 10 and 11-year-old girls like that. But like, why these three girls?
Yeah, I agree. It could be crime. They just were by themselves walking to the store. Yeah, it's crimes of opportunity.
It really seems like crimes of opportunity to me. And that also completely discredits the idea that they were selected because their names start with the same letter.
I agree with you.
I was gonna mention that the similarities, the double initials, were they a coincidence? I mean, the litter of names. I mean, that was a trend back then.
Well, absolutely, it's a trend now today. I did some research last night, and we first started discussing this, and it turns out that 1/15 of the population of the United States have matching first and last name initials.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's very common for people to rhyme names. Right. I still think the names is just, I think the alphabet stuff and the names is just completely irrelevant. I feel like if we end up solving this case, I feel like that is not going to be a part of.
It's not going to be. Yeah. The more I'm reading about it, I'm believing that that's going to be true.
Also, too, with the first and last initials, it gets even tighter because, you know, there aren't too many people named, you know, Xavier Xerox or Quentin Quigley.
Quentin Quigley. I feel like that should be your screen name. Quentin Quigley. I love it. It's the best name ever.
What about Zachariah Zephram?
Oh, God.
I feel like he wrote these down before he logged on.
Someone's going to steal Quentin Quigley if you don't use it. I'm telling you.
Right?
Yeah.
How cool would it be, though? You know, sidebar. How cute would it be to have initials QQ?
Aww.
Yeah, and you could do that little thing where you type out the word look with the Q's in the middle that look like eyes.
I mean, yeah.
Quentin Quigley. Yeah, it's hard to have a double Q in initial name.
Yeah. So, yeah. But however, if you go and you look, I did a little experiment. If you do like Jones, you know how many people in the world are like Jessica Jones, Jeremiah Jones, Jacob Jones, Jason Jones, Jennifer Jones. You know what I mean? There's a bazillion.
Well, my son is DD. Yeah.
Because the names flow. When you create names, when you give your kids names where the first and last initial are the same, the name has an iambic pentameter that flows.
Yeah, it's nice to say the first initial and the last initial and keep the same pronunciation.
And, you know, put the middle name after your grandmother. I mean, that's like what everybody did back in the 70s. You know, we're going to pick the first name and we got the last name and then we're going to name the middle name. We're going to pick the middle name is going to be after grandma.
Yeah.
Or grandpa, depending upon.
I think the whole, and again, I'll just reiterate because I know we got to go, but I don't know about you guys, but I do think the whole name thing is just like, you know, we start from scratch. We do evidence and we throw that crap. That was all from, like you said, the Agatha Christie, whatever.
Right.
And there's a million people that live in a town with the initials that match the town name. And like, it's so ridiculous that it sidetracks you from the focus of.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
And if you go and you look at all the people that were killed by like John Wayne Gacy, all the people that were killed by Jeffrey Dahmer, all the people that were killed by Ted Bundy, you're going to find that out of the 9-10 people that they killed, 20 people that they killed, probably 4 or 5 of them had the same initials.
Right. And you're like, oh, they love okay, everybody oh, with the name Mary.
This guy was obviously an Agatha Christie fan.
Yeah, he was obsessed with Marys because 4 of them were Mary. It's the Mary killer.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, they always want to give him a title and, yeah.
It's cool that we're all on the same page with that, because you can really get lost in the quagmire of statistics and make up completely coincidental statistics to make them look like they're relevant factors when they have absolutely nothing to do with what's going on.
Nothing. I mean, even if they did, if it was a coincidence, I mean, maybe they just were really strict grammar enthusiasts. I don't know.
Well, that just the thing is, like I said, if they were selected because of their names,
he knew him.
Necessarily, he had
to
know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what's so stupid about the whole thing.
And he had to know them intimately. Like, an ice cream man isn't going to know the kid's last name. He might know the first name, but he's not going to know their last name.
Right. But somebody at a school would, or at a church would.
Absolutely.
But then again, we're basing theory and looking at suspects based on the name thing, which then we end up down the rabbit hole when now all of a sudden we're not looking at evidence. We're just looking at, like, we're stuck on the name thing again.
Well,
and
absolutely,
I think that's what everyone's been doing.
Exactly. And that was my next point. If you know them intimately from school or from church, what in your mind is going to make you commit the crime by just yoking them off the street?
Right.
You're going to do so. If you know them, you're going to use that familiarity to ruse them to a secluded area where you can snatch them and do what you want to do, your evil bidding.
Yeah,
you're not going to just yoke them from in front of Walgreens, stick them in the car screaming and thrashing and waving their hands and taking them on the side of the road and so that they can escape and run half naked down the street. Like, that doesn't happen with a kid that you know.
No, I agree that it's probably a random chance of opportunity, which means he didn't know their names, which means it throws the whole theory of the stupid letter alphabet crap out the window.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
We'll start at the basics.
And the thing is, the alphabet letters, though, is what tied those girls into the killings on the West Coast.
Right, which I don't think he had anything to do with it.
Because of the murder, that prostitute that was using the alias Carmen Cologne, just like the girl that died, okay, that really got the authorities trying to link the murders on the West Coast with the murders of those three little girls. And at this point, I can't say definitively, but my gut is telling me that they're not even slightly related.
Yeah, that's a stretch. I mean, just in the fact that Narsap, he liked prostitutes and women, not little girls.
The psychopathy of pedophiles and of adult rapists are two very different pathologies.
Absolutely. And there wasn't any pictures of pedophile photos in all of his pictures. They were all women.
Right, exactly right.
So if you're right. I think that's a great point. You either are a pedophile and you like young little children, you six, or you just like to rape women and you're obsessed with women in their pantyhose and whatever. It seems like Nassau liked women, sexy fishnet, high heels, posing them with lipstick, all that. There's no evidence that points that he had any pictures of underage children or liked young girls. That is two vastly different humans.
Exactly right. And usually with rapists, the psychological profile, and I hate to use that word because, like I said before, I'm not going to be profiling anybody in these because it's been so played out a bazillion times. If you want to see profiles, watch Criminal Mind. But the traditional profile is when a man rapes a woman through bondage and all that other kind of stuff and kills her, it's about power and it's about control. It doesn't take extreme psychopathy for anybody to exert power and control over a child. They select children because children are pliable, malleable. It's very easy to control a child when you outweigh them by 180 pounds. So when most of these dirtbags decide that they're going to victimize children, not in all cases, because there's nothing that's 100%, but in most of the cases that I've reviewed, they select young children as targets because they feel like they're going to be easier to abduct. And then once they have them, easier to control. So yeah. That's a very different pathology than when you want to prove to yourself that you can play with the big girls. And where this girl might have a fighting chance of defending herself against you.
Right.
But I also think it's, if you read through a lot of these articles, two of the girls had wounds, defensive wounds on them. They fought. They didn't just lay there and let whoever it was do whatever they wanted to do. A couple of those girls went kicking and screaming.
Right. I believe that was Wanda and Michelle.
Well, and clearly Carmen did too, because she got half naked out of the car and started running down the
That's
street.
That's true. Yep.
One of these girls went laid down and went quietly.
No.
So that's another thing that leads me to believe that they had no, they did not know their assailant.
Yeah, that's true.
If uncle or whatever the case may be, or grandpa is doing this to you, you're probably not going to be that violent about it. By the time you realize what he's, you know, that he's going to kill you, you're dead already.
Right.
I can't believe the price of dog food is getting outrageous. And if I want to save a few bucks, I have to carry a 50-pound bag of kibble up the stairs into my apartment. There has to be a better way.
There is. I'm so glad you said something. You poor thing, we've been using TummyTimePetSupplies.com for over a year now.
Tummy Time Pet Supplies? What's that?
TummyTimePetSupplies.com. They have all the major brands and most smaller brands as well. In fact, we not only get all of our dog and cat supplies there, but they also have everything we need for Brett's chinchilla, Ashley's ferrets, Haley's iguana, and even Jordan's pet tarantula.
Wow, they sell all that?
And more. But what's best about TummyTimePetSupplies.com is that they ship everything through Amazon Fulfillment. That means that everything you order gets delivered right to your door, and if you're an Amazon Prime customer, shipping is almost always free.
That really sounds incredible, but I bet it's super expensive. Mark just got laid off and I can't afford all those special conveniences for a while. Nonsense. In fact, Tummy Time offers some of the most reasonable prices anywhere. You really have to be a whiz and coupon shopping to beat their everyday prices, and when they run sales, forget about it. I can't believe it, an incredible selection, great prices, and right to your door service. So what do you think?
I think the next time I buy anything for my pets, I'm going to TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
I think that's a very wise choice.
Me too.
That's right. For all your pet needs, it's TummyTimePetSupplies.com. Remember TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
Thanks for tuning in. We know you have a choice and appreciate that you've chosen the Veritas 7. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and post a rating for the show before you go. Those metrics are really important for us. And if it's within your means to help us carry on our mission to revitalize these cold cases, please consider becoming one of our sponsors by visiting patreon.com/theveritas7 and signing up for any of our three available tiers of sponsorship. Each one provides a ton of extra content, like message chatting with our hosts in real time while we're recording, or even being able to call in voicemails to the show that we'll play on the air. Thanks again for being such an awesome listener. Now back to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this teaser episode of the Veritas 7's presentation. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, this is just a teaser. You definitely want to look for our Gifted Insights episode pertaining to this case, as well as our Uncensored episode pertaining to this case. Again, Gifted Insights episodes are all featuring our amazing resident psychic, Gina Nisanoff, and her take on what she thinks about each one of the cases that we go through. So you definitely don't want to miss a single episode of Gifted Insights with Gina and I. And you'd certainly want to keep on the lookout for the Prime episodes when it comes to this and all of our other cases. That's the meat of our entire investigation. 6 chapters ranging from victimology to the verdict. We go over every step of the case and break it down for you and present it in a way that hopefully
at the end can lead to our nomination for an indictment against a specific suspect or suspects. So again, nobody does it quite the way we do. We hope you enjoy the way we present it to you. We also want to encourage everybody to go and join our Facebook discussion group so that you can get in the conversation and weigh in on the verdict. We are all about interactivity here. It is facebook.com/groups/TheVeritas7. Go and join, then link in to one of the chat rooms that we have there and get involved with not only our staff, but also with other listeners like yourself who are fascinated by these cases and want to talk about them as we present. Quick reminder, if you like the content and you enjoy the show, please, please remember to rate the show, like it, and subscribe to it. Those metrics, you know, they only take a couple of seconds on your part, but they really mean a lot to us as far as our metrics and our advertisers and our sponsors and things like that. So please, if you like the show, remember to take a minute or two and go and rate, like, and subscribe to the show. It really means a lot to us. For all of us here at the Veritas 7, thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate you. This show is all about you. Have a great night. God bless. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. So turn the car around and leave. Meet me underneath the tree inside the valley that we made. And with our hands we'll make the best of the life that we have left. And we will never say goodbye. Inside the valley that we made. And with our hands we'll make the best of the life that we have left. And we will never say goodbye. And if we do we'll meet again, knowing love was heaven sent. And I've never felt this way.